Yo, this is Huey from the Fun Love of Criminals, and you are with the Groovement, and you are being looked after by Agent J. Do what he say.
Live from the studio here in New York. Bubbly getting cold, pop the coat. We gonna take this party straight for sound. Show them how the criminals get down. Yo, Fist. United, put the crack pipe down. It's been a while since I've been around town. Y'all getting fast since Carlito went away. Hey, yeah, I reloaded, okay? I'm thinking of you and all the things that you do. Yeah, I'm thinking of you. Hell yeah, that's true.
So sway with the... All right, we're hanging with Huey from the Fun Loving Criminals. Huey, good evening.
Welcome to the back of the bus, Shay.
Should I say Lord Huey?
No, they found me out.
What was the end result of that?
Well, what happened was, you know, I bought it on the internet to put on my credit card, and then I switched credit card companies, and the new credit card company was like, we're not putting Lord in front of your name. I was like, all right. Yeah, because originally I did it with this one credit card company because I'd lost a credit card, and I didn't want to replace it. So I said, oh, put Lord, put my title on, and they did it because they just wanted to make me happy. But it's also like, I'm obviously, you speak to me, I'm not a Lord of any manner. So it's kind of funny because it worked in New York, but it doesn't work in
You're not a king of New York on the front.
I could probably work something like that out. I mean, on my Virgin card, it just says Huey. Because Sir Richard's known us for, you know, since the band started. So that's cool. You just have one name on your Virgin card. It's not quite the, what is it, George Clooney's got some kind of like super concierge card because the other was, he was over like 10 million miles away. I hate that high. Yeah.
Whatever name you want, Kimo. So, Classic Fantastic, is that hitting this month? I know it's out, but is it literally?
Yeah, literally, it just came out. Yeah, it's one of the records that we've been working on for the last couple of years, but we just got it all together, mixed and put together. So that came out at the beginning of March, and we're doing some shows around that promo style, just to let people know we're still alive. Because a lot of time passed, you know, you gotta come back out there.
Yeah, it has been, what, five years?
Since we've had, like, the situation where we're riding on the bus playing gigs every day.
Is that legal wranglings and stuff? Just time out?
No, it was stuff with our old manager that we couldn't actually do the music we wanted to make while we were spending 100% of our time on a legal game. So it's just simple, you know, time. You know, if you don't have the time to do it, you don't have the time to do it.
So did you have a gestation period of 5 years? Like, have you been writing that long, or did you just come to it fresh?
Well, we've been writing all the way through that, but it seemed like the songs that we picked out of all the songs they've been writing over the last couple of years were like kind of like the upbeat, positive songs, or really very ironic songs. So out of the groups of songs that we put together, I think this kind of like summarizes how we feel about stuff. And we didn't want to make like some emo record about how we got fucked over by our manager. That'd be fucked over by the manager.
Yeah, sort of let it lie, don't you?
Yeah,
just leave it.
Too, in a lot of ways. I mean, shit. I mean, you know, you play in a rock band, you meet bands like Coldplay, and they think they're curing cancer and putting rockets on the moon, and it's just being in a band.
And how much of that now? I mean, you've had 5 years off from it, really, but how much of, when you tour, is it like, right, we're touring, it's months at a time, that's how we're going to make our way now, and it's your earner?
Yeah, we luckily for us, we do other things that, you know, allow us the freedom to do this, because this is what we want to do. And they say when your hobby can make you a living, you're a happy man.
You still love it?
Yeah, this is the most fun we ever have. I mean, like you're talking about the Six Music Show. All that comes from being in this band. And they wanted to hear what music makes us tick. So that's how that worked. But, you know, I think this is what we really like doing. And, you know, we own the record company now. So it's the three of us and our manager.
Yeah.
So any decision that needs to be made, we can make it like that. We don't have to wait 10 weeks for it to go through the legal department. Because that's one of the things that a lot of bands now, they get signed to big record deals, they're 360 deals where they take a bit of your touring, a bit of your merchandise, a bit of your publishing, a bit of your record sales, or 50% rather. So you don't really end up really getting nothing but a really bad bank loan with a bank, bad, you know, a bad annual, you know, EPA.
So you've attained sort of like total creative control, but what are the disadvantages then? Have you got, are you worried about distribution? Are you worried about promotion?
Well, I think we got our money through a bunch of guys outside the music business, so we're not beholden to anybody. So we hire the people that we want to hire to do our thing. So in any way, it's actually a lot better. You want to hire like a TV plugger, you hire the best TV plugger.
Okay.
You know, so you do it like that, and you do people you know and you work with. So if anything, over the years of meeting all these people with all the record companies we're in, I think we're in a better spot, you know?
You got Rodney, Roots Maneuver, on the record. Is that something that's just was going to happen anyway, or is he a mate of yours?
He was a friend of ours. Right? That's how all those kind of things happen. We had B.B. King play on our one of our records, and Stuart Matthewman from Sade, and Paul Kay is on this record too, doing some crazy lawyer thing, which I said ironic, you know. And I think Roots is like the best MC in the UK. Original style, he doesn't really take himself too seriously, but he's very creatively inspiring to be around. So he was the guy we wanted him to do a track with. But then when we finally had this one track, we were like, this could be the track that he'd like. And he came down, he was like, I like this, man.
He'll know where you're at as well, because he's got Banana Clan with Gordon.
Yeah.
So he knows the ins and outs of that, because he keeps to his roots with Banana Clan, but can still do crossover, obviously, with Witness or whatever. People know who he is, isn't it? Yeah.
And he's still got credibility. Exactly. You know, he's like one of those dudes that never really went like the titchy, whatever those guys, whoever the fuck they are, you know what I'm saying? But he never went that way, which was cool, you know, because it's so easy to go that way when you come up. Yeah. But then, you know, you don't really get to make a career out of it. You just do like one record and then go back to work at McDonald's.
Yeah. So how do you feel, Huey, about the records come out, and I was just surfing the internet before, I believe is the verb that people use commonplace. Yeah. And there's a couple of reviews that are like, oh, Fun Loving Criminals are back, they've been away, and then just spurting some negative shit. How much?
You spurted negative shit? Oh. I didn't know we were negative.
I mean, no. The review is negative.
Oh, like, people are always gonna hate when there's.
But how much does it affect you? Do you take it personally? Do you?
No.
Do you think, shit? You know.
I mean, no disrespect to music. Disrespect to music journalists.
One of them was from the NME. Huey, well, so.
My point being is those who can do and those who can't write for the NME.
Yeah.
And what do they sell? 10,000 copies. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter what
it's
people
a
think.
Or, smash it.
And if they say, you know, I don't read reviews. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. But if I were to, and it was like a really bad review, and I was just some guy that was reading it and being like, wow, someone really fucking hates it that much. Mm. I got to listen to it and see for myself. Mm. It's like when someone says that movie was the worst fucking waste of time. I'd be like, I got to see it, check it out. Mm. It's like one of those things they waste print, you know, waste ink on us and spell the band's name right. We're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
No one really. I mean, it's kind of one of those things. We do sound the same. We're one of those bands that don't sound like anybody else. Mm. It's like Tom Waits came out with a record. Oh, it sounds like Tom Waits. Yeah. Oh, that's shit. Why can't he do a Madonna?
Yeah. Do you find you get lumped with bands sometimes on bills, and you're like, why are we with them? Or do you? It doesn't really bother you because
we still get gigs, motherfucker. Yeah. Shit. Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I know what's going on.
Well, no, it was the same. Now that we own a record company, it's kind of we have a different perspective because. We know that people aren't buying records, they're downloading shit for free. Mm. So being a record company and having that be on the table when most record companies are just fighting the tide and not really believing that that's the case and trying to sell CDs to people that no one's really, HMV's going out of business, all those record companies are going out of business. We know that people get music for free. Mm. You know, so with that in mind, that's how we kind of are doing what we're doing. That's why we're on a bus playing every place we can. Mm. We'll be in South America, Asia, you know, Canada, America, Australia. We love playing. Mm. And this gives us the opportunity to play our new record for people.
So when people can listen to it on Spotify and something like that?
Yeah, they can listen on Spotify if they want. I mean, if they really want to go out and buy a couple on iTunes, fine. They get some LimeWire, some motherfucking ones, you know.
Well, you did write on for
Bay, whatever.
Yeah, you did write on for The Darkness, didn't you, as a sort of teaser?
Well, it was just something that we wanted to give away. Mm. And I think our website's doing a good job of doing that. Like, we'll give the people a good version of it rather than, like, a triple dupe version. Yeah. And that's, we know what's happening. Yeah. So most record companies don't. They're like, you know, they're trying to put privacy, you know, controls on all the on MP3 codes and stuff. It ain't gonna work.
I saw something about YouTube getting banned in the UK or some shit on Yahoo yesterday.
YouTube, right.
You
see, we love doing like little bits and shit for YouTube and stuff. We have like our own YouTube channel where we do like bullshit, like the Maui Homicide stuff we do. Which, I mean, to be honest, we were happy we were in a band playing, because you could be doing a whole bunch of other stuff. And considering, you know, we've been doing this a long time, people still come up to see us. Mm. That's humbling, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big venue.
Yeah, on the real, we, you know, we're like, really? Okay, all right. Thought maybe after a couple of years we'd be playing a smaller club, you know. But hey, you know.
Do you see it as winding down?
I see it as us kind of continuing from where Loco took off. Because the last two records came out on like a really shitty record label called Sanctuary. And they had like no budget to promote. And no one really knew they came out. So in essence, it's been more than 5 years. It's been like 8 years or maybe 10 years since people heard Loco. So in any way, I think it's a continuation of that kind of style.
Yeah. And obviously people like think of Scooby Snacks and whatever. Is that a blessing or a curse? Because people think... Fun Loving Criminals, Tarantino, and when I saw you last years ago, Pulp Fiction, Heaton Park, Manchester, you played before the movie came on. So there's an association.
Funny story, because Stella Artois was sponsoring
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
And they were like, yo, they were on the soundtrack. And we were like, yeah, we were. And you know, we sampled the soundtrack. So we went and we did that as a, you know, it was funny. We liked the film, obviously. We wouldn't have sampled it.
I was reading a Serbian interview with you where they said, oh, you know, you worked with Tarantino to write this song.
Yeah, and it was like, no, we just sampled him. And he made a publishing company and, you know, gave him some percentage, yeah. But he's cool now. We've met him since. He's a cool dude.
Yeah. Do you find it a blessing or a curse? Do you still love playing the song, or you're like, oh, is it your teen spirit, you know?
It, in a lot of ways, I think it is, and I like that. I like the fact that you can play a song that's really fucking old, and people of young ages and older ages like a song that you wrote. That's pretty fucking cool. I'm from New York City, man. I'm sitting here in Manchester, and people know a song that I wrote fucking 12 years ago. That's dope.
So was it peer pressure for you to come and live in the UK then?
Oh, no,
or was
that
a creative choice?
And we have a place in New York, and she wanted to just come over here for a little bit.
Right.
And coming over here has actually been better for the band. Because I was just in New York. Fast had been living here for 6 years. Frank's from Leicester. Yeah. So, you know, there was a lot of UK connection. And it was good for me to come over for a little while. I mean, I go back to New York all the time. So I don't feel like I'm actually living in New York or living in England. I just feel like I'm living. Yeah, and that's not a bad nomadic life, you know? I mean, you know, I got a nice wife. I got my dog from Brooklyn that we brought over. Really? And she's 16.
Was that problematic, bringing a dog over?
My wife sorted it out. They got to do things. Instead of quarantine, they do a quarantine in America. So they give you the rabies shot. They just don't want rabies in England.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Sir Richard has sorted you out, forget it.
Yeah. I brought the dog on the Virgin plane. So
really?
Yeah, he hooked it up, yeah. But it's one of those things where, you know, it was easier for, and you know how wives are, if they want something done. Are you married? No. But if you have a wife, they get shit done.
I've just bought a house.
Yeah, so you know how it is. And she really likes the house, doesn't she?
Yeah. New kitchen.
Yeah. I've got it all.
Do you remember doing that compilation a few years ago? We started with a Love Unlimited Orchestra, a double CD thing.
Oh, yeah, it was for Groove. It was like the songs that I like growing up.
Yeah,
that was actually the precursor to me doing the radio show.
Right,
if
that's what I was going
to
ask.
All this different kind of shit on there. And
do you think that people, you know, people, you think about the common man or lady in the street, will have like Barry White, stereotypical image, whatever. But do you think knowing the background of a wide range of music opens up the Fun Loving Criminals in quite a way? Like even listening to the new album, I can hear influences from certain periods of soul or whatever. Do you think people would benefit more from just knowing? I mean, do you?
If we're put in the schooling category, which I don't know if people do that, but we've liked that music, and as musicians, we like listening to that music, and of course we like playing different types of stuff. We play the same type of music all the time for 2 hours, we'd lose it. If we play like our punk rock songs, we could do it for 2 hours, and we'd just be like, ugh. So we like mixing it up and playing different styles. And yeah, there's a lot of little Philly soul stuff going on there. Frank loves Prince. You know, I love Rakim. You know, so...
Well,
all, you know.
Am I right in thinking J-Rock and Rakim came on your show?
Yeah, both of them were. Yeah. Rakim was cool to talk to. He was on the telephone, and J-Rock came in when he was in town. J-Rock's the man.
World famous beat junkie J-Rock.
Oh, he's the man.
Is that your sort? Would you listen to that sort of hip hop now? That sort of Stone's Throw stuff.
I love all that stuff, and it's that's the cool thing about doing the radio shows, because you're allowed to play any. I can play anything I want, as long as it doesn't have curses. So it's hard for me to play Wu-Tang. I love my Wu-Tang, but there's this record Fast gave me that two guys did instrumentally, and they're like children singing the Wu-Tang songs and stuff.
You heard the Beatles one?
No.
Yeah, it's basically the Jay-Z Beatles thing, but what with the Wu-Tang with 36 Chambers.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna Spotify that. Yeah, I'll get on LimeWire later.
The children one though.
Yeah, the children one's weird. Fast got it in Brazil or somewhere like that, like some faraway place. But
do you know are you familiar with the Al Michaels Affair out of New York, Brooklyn?
No.
Funk band. Have you heard of Sharon Jones? The Dap
Kings? I know Sharon Jones.
Right. Well, the Al Michaels are associated instrumentalists, and they did an album called. I think it was Enter the 36 Chambers, but their instrumental version, and they laid it down, pure live band, and then five of the Wu-Tang rapped on top of the first time they've rapped with a band ever.
Really?
And it's quite funny how they've done it. But
I just imagine how getting all those dudes in the studio.
Check that out. L. Michael's Affair. Yeah.
All right, L. Michael's Affair.
Yeah, it looks like L. Michelle's Affair.
L. Michelle's Affair.
That's right. But apparently it's L. Michael's. I was corrected on that by that
time. All right, cool. Yeah, I'll peep that. I know Fast, that little black box over there next to the silver thing, is Fast movies and music and stuff, and it all goes through He sets the, he gets on the bus, he sets it up. The first thing he does, he gets his wires out. So yeah, we can watch like 36 Chambers and all our kung fu films while listening to, yeah, while listening to music, you know.
Yeah. Let's just talk about the Clash a second. We've only got a couple of minutes left. They're on the new Gorillaz LP. Have you heard it? It was streams this week.
No, I haven't. I know Mick pretty good, and Mick was telling me that it sounded really good.
Right.
Yeah, I knew Joe when he was alive, but and Joe introduced me to Mick. Mm. But yeah, I mean, he was like, you know, because like, I don't really like Damon Albarn that much. I think he's a little Ponzi asshole, but but he's a good musician, and it's the things you have to separate the artist from the man. And the Gorillaz are good because he had some new stuff that he was bopping. That's fast. And we were really digging that.
I mean, we haven't got time to talk about it now, but they streamed the album on The Guardian, and you couldn't select tracks, you could just listen to it.
Oh, really?
And it's pretty clever. I mean, obviously, you could still record it, but the quality would be crap. But massive band like that, it's interesting. So.
Well, a lot of bands, music is getting to the point where it's, you know, it's not going to cost anything to anybody. And you have to, otherwise, you're fighting the tide.
Okay, to finish off, Huey. God, that is. Long distance, isn't it?
Once the lights are on, it's like, dunna.
Last thing, I've got a big bag of vinyl with me. You've done the vinyl junkie thing on. Do you still. Surely between two homes, you can't still go out and buy vinyl. Surely it's got to be.
I have all my vinyl in New York, and my wife's got all her vinyl in England. And we don't have turntables. Actually, we found turntables in our storage locker, but we don't have a mixer, so we're going to try to take the turntables, put them in my studio, in my garage here in England. And actually, you know, get back to it. Because we were doing Serato and stuff like that, but you still need a mixer, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what can people expect from the show tonight?
Well, it's going to be a little bit everything. You know, I mean, obviously we're going to play in songs people know. We're talking about Scooby Snacks and stuff like that. But then there'll be some new songs from the new record. And the great thing about now is Fast has this whole new setup where we can play any song we want from all the songs we've ever recorded.
Right.
Just makes it hard on me because I remember all the lyrics. But so it's going to be a lot of, no sets the same. So it's going to be
digital trickery.
Yeah, he's the digital trickmeister in the back, yeah.
Well, Huey, have a good one tonight, man.
Well, thanks, man.
And, good luck with Six Music, the show. Is that going to carry on and everything? Because you're off for a couple of weeks, haven't you? You pre-recorded one.
I pre-recorded a couple, and then John Peel's kid's going to come and do a couple. And I knew John Peel when we first started. He was playing us. So it seems like a natural thing that he, because that dude knows his music.
Take it easy.
Nice one.
I got Frank like Oscar Mayer. He inspire, make you jump and shout. Guess it's out, the criminals don't let you down. Who's scooping? Mata Hoopalin. I take the hip hop back to school, put the blues in. Now we cruising, body moving. Yeah, we grooving. The only Sue I know is Susan. Thinking of you and all the things that you do. Yeah, thinking of you. That's true. I don't overplay your hand. Lay in the cut. Mix it up. Stay tough. Thinking hard enough. Use your head. Diversify your bonds.